sufficient for everything that you go through, everything that you're experiencing. Lord, I thank you, oh God, and I appreciate you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, so very much. Praise the lovely name of Jesus. I would tell you this morning I'm going to preach to you from a certain book, but I can't this morning. I have to this afternoon. If you will turn with me a very familiar passage of Scripture and a book that you very familiar pass right past, and go on and go to something different. We can barely pronounce it, let alone read it. But we're going to be preaching from the book of Habakkuk this morning. Told you. This afternoon, God has something special for you to increase your faith. I thought as these songs that was being sung that Chris had planned for us, he only knew my title of my message. I didn't give him nothing else, and absolutely, in fact, probably before I give him the title of my message, he already had this planned out. Absolutely. Goes right along with where we are today and what's going on. I don't want you to be bored at first of some of the things that I'm going to tell you, but I want you to listen closely because the climax of this message is going to blow you away because God's Spirit and God's power is here in this place today, even if it's in the afternoon and not in the morning. But we're going to have church and we're going to allow God to touch us. We're going to have God allow God to bless us. In a mighty, mighty way. How many is open for God's Spirit to touch our hearts and lives? And if we stay till 8 o'clock, it'll be all right. Amen. I want to preach to you today on the thought of though the fig tree does not bud. Though the fig tree does not bud. If you will turn me to the book of Habakkuk. Beginning at chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. I want to read to you that portion of the Scripture, and then we'll move on and allow God to speak to our hearts and lives. Habakkuk, a prophet of God, had a burden, which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, Habakkuk told the Lord, the law is slack. Judgment does not go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. At first look at that, you may think it's just a bunch of prophetic gibberish. But I want you to know, as a prophet of God, he was experiencing some of the very same things and giving God some of the very same questions that you and I talk about to God. We may not want to address Him specifically, but Habakkuk was addressing Him specifically, but he was saying, how long am I going to cry out, O God? There is injustice in the world today, and it seems like that nothing is going right, and everything is going wrong. Everybody around me is a bunch of heathens, and I'm trying to do what's right, but everything is going wrong. There is no justice, there is no government, there is nothing that's happening that is right. Now, we could take that to the governmental side, but we can also take it to the spiritual side. And there are those of you that's the sound of my voice today that are going through things that you do not understand. You feel like that God has left you. He has vacated His throne. But I'm here to tell you today that God is very much alive and He's concerned about every one of your problems and every one of your circumstances. But I want you to know today that the prophet Habakkuk, think about it, the prophet Habakkuk, knew that there was circumstances that he could not control, and he was seeking God, crying out to God, raising the questions, God, why in the world can't you hear what I'm saying? Why can't you come and intervene? We often are involved in these very same questions. We just may give different words and terminology for them. But I want you to know that all through the Scriptures, there are those that have faced circumstances and situations that they didn't understand. They didn't know what was going on, and God was trying to put things in place, and He was still in charge, but yet there was those that was absolutely oblivious to why God wasn't coming on the scene. Anybody ever been there? You just wish that God would just come on the scene. How many's ever said to yourself or to somebody, if I could just get God to sit down here beside me or get Jesus to sit down beside me for just a moment, I'd just like to ask Him some questions? We often think that maybe we're the only one that asks those questions, but that's the farthest from the truth. Moses and Elijah perhaps was one of the first two examples that perhaps give God some biggest challenges that He had. As men of God that He called, Moses got the call to go out and made every excuses not to go. He said, I can't go, but if you'll send Aaron, it'll be all right. God called Moses to go out. Moses didn't want to go out. Elijah was supposed to go out, but he wanted to stay in. Elijah was supposed to stay, but he wanted to run. He hid in a cave, complaining to God that he was the only living righteous, trying to do what's right, and everybody else was the heathens. And here we see in the book of Habakkuk, another man of God asking questions. A prophet asking questions. And it makes you wonder today why all the circumstances and all the situation, and even in while we talk, there is war that is on the horizon that could very, very easily, by morning, we could be in full-fledged war, which I hope not and pray not, but it seems like that not only there's war in our world, there's war in our country, there's war on our streets, there's war in our lives. And it's all the same. To God, it's all the same. We wonder today why there's so much evil and why there's so much hatred in our world today. I looked up some things, some statistics, and I found out that there are 3,700 churches that are closing in America every year in the United States. 3,700 churches. I also found out that there is 1,700 pastors that are leaving the ministry. Not a year, a month. A month. And yet in the midst of all that's happened to America, a country that was founded on "In God We Trust," founded on the fundamental rights and morals of God's holy word, we find that the fastest growing churches, the churches, evangelical churches today, the fastest growing is found in the land of Iran among young people. Whoa. What has happened to America? What has happened to us? How many remembers Desert Storm? Most of us do. For the most part, we remember Desert Storm. Did you know that perhaps they took that cliche right out of the Word of God, out of the book of Habakkuk? In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 9, he said, "They come with bent on violence. Their hordes, their groups, their armies advance like a desert wind and gathered prisoners like sand." When Habakkuk raised these three particular questions that we're going to talk about here this afternoon, and I'll tell you that the answers that Habakkuk got just shortly, but no other worldview, no other man's view, no other ideology in the whole wide world can come close to answering these questions that Habakkuk raised. No individual and no world and no government can answer these questions like the pain and the war and the evil and the suffering that people are going through today like God's holy word. It is His word that's alive and well. It's His word that'll keep us. It's His word that will sustain us. I just want you to know today that those things that you're going through, God has not forgotten you. God has not left you. He's not vacated you. He knows exactly where you're at. There's a time and there's a place. It's like when the storm comes, it seems like it'll never end, but finally it does. There's a storm in your life. There's violence in your life, but it will retreat, and God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Habakkuk cried, "How long do I have to cry out?" How many times have we asked that question? How long do I have to go through what I'm going through? How long do I have to suffer? How long do I have to wait for an answer? How long, God, I have cried out to you. How long do I have to cry out? How long? For the prophet Habakkuk to even raise such a question was a challenge to God. And in that challenge to God, listen to me today, church. Listen to me, folks. In that challenge that he presented to God, it demonstrates God's love. It demonstrates God's grace. It demonstrates God's patience, that He listens to your questions, that we rise to Him, and He still loves us, He still cares for us, and even though He may not answer immediately, His delays are not His denials. It was Job that we find that had so many questions, before finally, in the latter part of that book of Job, God told him to stand up and be a man, and I will speak to you. There's times that we just have to, suck it up and move on. And regardless of what we have to experience, God is still on the throne and He has not forgotten you. Hello? Sometimes God delays the answer. Sometimes it seems like He has totally gone on vacation, but I'm here to tell you He has not abandoned you. He is very prevalent. And I'd just like to tell you one more time, when we ask Him those questions, when these prophets ask Him those questions, it is nothing more than demonstrating God's love, grace, and patience. Sometimes our patience is not near what God's is, especially when our kids in the back seat keep to asking us, "Are we there yet?" And we're only 5 minutes away from the house. But it demonstrates God's love. Is anybody with me today? It demonstrates God's love and God's grace to us. Verse number 1 again, Habakkuk was pleading to God, "Oh God, how long will I have to cry out because of all this violence?" How many of us, no doubt, have felt like that over and over and over again. And we look at what we see today in our world, and it's not just overseas, but it's come home. It's next door. Violence fills our land, and ever-increasing evil has now infiltrated almost every neighborhood of even Mayberry type of communities. Hello? I just want to explain to you something real quickly, and then we're going to move on. But the Word of God tells us that evil will increase throughout the time. In the last days, it'll be astronomical. Hello? And to understand these things, I just want to, again, briefly run by them and run them past you to let you know that in the midst of all that evil, God's still on the throne and He has not forgotten you. In the 17th century, long before we was ever born, there was 3.3 million people killed in war. In the 18th century, there was 5.2 million people killed in war. That may not seem significant right at the moment, but bear with me, okay? If you would please, just bear with me. In the 19th century, there was 5.5 million killed in war. In the 20th century, there was 28 million killed in war. It went from 5.5 to 28 million. In the first three quarters of this 21st century, there has been 70 million killed in war, not counting China and Russia during their times of conflict. Between 1941 and 1945, listen closely, there was around 6 million Jews as exterminated and killed in the Holocaust. 6 million. From 1941 to 1945, since Roe versus Wade in 1973, there has been nearly 62 million babies' lives annihilated. The reason the huge increase as it continues to escalate is because we have pushed God out of every aspect of our lives. We do not want Him involved, nor do we want Him a part of the moral scene of our life. The huge increase is because we have pushed God out of the way and we have tried to play God ourselves. This universal madness in the 20th century has been the bloodiest of all times, the 21st century. It's not that God doesn't exist, but that we have excommunicated Him and pushed Him completely out of the affairs of our life. I want you to listen to what Hitler wrote and had inscribed upon one of the walls of the death camps in one of the gas chambers and see how it compares to where we are today. You say, man, you're supposed to encourage me. This is absolutely flattening me. No. You wait just a minute. Hang on, okay? Hitler had written and inscribed on one of the gas chamber walls. His desire was, he said, I want to raise a generation of young people that is devoid of conscience, imperious and relentless and cruel. Are we there yet? Imperious means to assume power or authority without justification, arrogance, and domineering. He took the youth of Germany and brought them in to train. And many of them was so taken over by the mind and so devoted to Hitler that they even denounced their own parents. What does the Bible tell you in the last days? Fathers against sons, sons against fathers, mothers against daughters. We are living in an hour and a time so the world has went totally berserk. And it's not God's fault because God has let man have their own way. Can I tell you today, if I have not seen it any clearer, and perhaps you can help me out, that the world has taken the spirit of Hitler and moved an expedited age and state. So how far do we come? How far will we go? When we stop to think about it, it's not something that's really new because the very first family had a murder in it. His name was Cain. So Habakkuk was crying out to God like a desert storm. All the violence and all the evil. He was asking God, why? Why don't you intervene? Why don't you come to our rescue? Why don't you answer these calls? In the 30th chapter, approximately there somewhere in the book of Job, Job asked many, many questions and God began to give him some answers. Habakkuk was wondering, why do I have to cry out so much? Not because of all the violence, but the injustice is about more than I can take. He said in the fourth verse of that first chapter, therefore the law is paralyzed. The law is paralyzed. and justice never prevails. How many of you ever felt like, man, ain't nothing ever goes right? Huh? Come on, be honest. They ain't nothing ever goes right, and it seems like that the meanest hombre in the world is the ones that gets the breaks. Huh? He said, I'm seeking for justice. And he said, the wicked him in the righteous. The wicked him in the righteous. It seems like that the more and the harder we try, the farther we get behind. But God has not forsaken you. The moral standards in which we live by this holy word, I'm going to bring that out a little bit here in just a minute. The moral standards that we live by through this holy word is being attacked every day. The viciousness of that homosexuality spirit is invading every aspect and every area of our lives. You've probably heard in the news in the last couple of weeks of how it has invaded and how it's trying to invade even the Methodist church. We find in our world today that spirit of homosexuality is so wicked, and it is so violent, and it is so vulgar, and it is so hateful. We find where that the abortions, that spirit of abortion, can I tell you, it is a spirit that we're dealing with and we're fighting with. That spirit of abortion and that spirit of homosexuality, it is such a fierce and such a hateful and hurting spirit, and it seems like that there's more money that's being pushed into it than there is anything else. Churches struggling to pay the electric bill, and yet there's multi-million dollars going into the abortion clinics to kill more babies. And Habakkuk is saying, God, where is the justice at? What's going on with all this justice? Habakkuk cries out for that justice. And this is where we are in America today, church. Justice has become a political ideology. And I hope I can explain this to you just a little bit. And maybe if I can't, the Holy Spirit will take in, which I hope He does anyway, and take over. But justice has now become a political ideology rather than the precepts and guidelines that God Himself outlined in His Word. It's nothing more than political ideology. That's why, this is just a little bit, okay? That's why that they want to confiscate and take all the guns and think that the crooks won't have them no more. That's political ideology. Plato said that justice was the first thing of a good government. I was studying a couple of weeks ago, and it come to me, and I mentioned it to a few people, that without justice there is no peace. And you look at our society and our world today, and you find that without justice there is no peace. The heathens rage. Plato said that justice was the first thing of a good government. But can I tell you something? God's still on the throne. Can I also tell you, if the rest of the world goes to hell in the handbasket, don't mean you have to. If the rest of the world wants to live like the devil himself, you don't have to. If the rest of the world wants to make ideology political of moral morality, you don't have to, because God's Word is the statute of morality, and we must live by His holy Word. And the prophet Micah took 630 laws of Moses and condensed them into three things. And you'll find that in Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. He hath showed thee, O man. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. That ought to make somebody want to shout. Say, why ain't the rest of the world doing it? Because they have been given up to their own will. They've believed a lie. And the Bible says that they'll be damned because of their own belief and their own lies. The other thing that Habakkuk was struggling with so was the evil that was in the world, the evil that was in his time. And can you imagine if he could see what was happening in the year of 2020? But you see, we don't want to use the word evil anymore. Many psychologists, psychiatrists, don't want to use evil in a moral sense anymore. They want to keep it clinical. You say, what is this all about? They want to keep it clinical so they can give evil appeal and suppress it, and evil still reigns. If we can keep evil clinical, then we don't have to search our own hearts and we don't feel like we have to answer to God. If we keep evil clinical, then we can give it appeal and allow it to continue, not having to face our own demise until it hits us square in the face. You see, there is a circumstance, a situation that we're in today that is reality versus perspective. The world, well, that's the way I see it, so that's it. That's the way it's right. Hello? That's where we are in our world today. We try to live by our own set of rules, and that's the perspective we see. Well, I don't believe it like you do. It doesn't matter whether you believe it like I do. What does the Bible say about it? But it's reality. The Bible is reality. And we try to view things in our world in our own perspective, and it'll get us in trouble every time. Can I tell you today that the world has been perverted with the perspective of how they want to live and how they want to do and how they want to feel. And they have allowed reality to shape their perspective. But I'm here to declare to you today through the truth of God's holy word, it should be our perspective shouldn't shape our reality, but the reality of God's word should shape our perspective. I hope I'm not getting too deep today, but I felt like that there's somebody here today that desperately needs to hear that you're not the only one asking these questions. And just because you're not the only one asking these questions does not mean that God's void and doesn't exist. Reality must shape our perspective. Perspective cannot shape reality. The way we excuse our own perspective as reality, we take the role as God. And I know it's all void of reasoning. Why that one day we totally forget and ignore that void of reasoning, one day we're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Habakkuk 2 and 18 said, verses 18 and 19 said, oh, what value. Listen, I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm almost where I was going, okay? Thank you for staying with me. But I'm almost there where I was going. Listen, Habakkuk, a prophet of God, chapter 2, verse 18 said, oh, what value is an idol? Since a man has carved it. I mean, he says it a little bit strange and different, but it's the same thing as we look at it, or an image that teaches lies. For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. For he who makes it trust. Men create their own idols and then expect them to speak to him. He makes idols that cannot speak. Man makes idols that cannot speak. Verse 19, he said, woe to him who says to wood, come alive. Or lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? Is it covered with gold and silver? There is no breath in it. Can I tell you that the reasoning of Habakkuk was that God is deity. Habakkuk put those verses of Scripture in there saying, look, I may have all the situation. I may not understand all the wars and all the killing, all the violence, all the evil, no justice. But I'm here to tell you that these men that carve out idols and want them to come alive, can I tell you that fat little Buddha that's sitting there that's pure gold cannot tell you a thing, cannot heal you, cannot give you a word of wisdom, cannot tell you nothing. When man makes an idol, it is absolutely nothing more than a man-made substance. But Habakkuk says, and listen, I'm telling you, God is a God of deity. God is a God of understanding. He knows the concepts. He sees you going in. He sees you coming out. He knows when you're at your lowest point. He knows when you need a touch by His hand. Understand that idols cannot know or concept the perspective of reality or even give guidance. But I can tell you that the Lord in all of His holiness sits on His throne and all of His sovereignty. And remember that word, sovereignty. God knows what's best, and He knows even when we're going through the worst times in our entire life that He still loves you. He still got you in the palm of His hand, and He has not abandoned you. Can I just tell you today that God in all of His holiness sits on His throne and all of His sovereignty, knowing all, seeing all, while at the same time a man allowing His He allows men to exercise their own will. So does God intervene? There's times that He does and we don't even know it. Sister Brenda mentioned that in our class on Wednesday night. And I just want to put a plug in for that. We've been having great classes on Wednesday night. Sister Brenda's teaching a series right now and awesome. But you remember that, Sister Brenda, and it caught my attention when you mentioned about God intervenes in times we don't even know anything about. Everybody still awake? Okay. I just want you to know, I this past week I learned how to blow up a stump with dynamite, so don't sit there like one. I feel perhaps that some of you may think this was a little scattered today, but I'm coming to a conclusion to help you to understand the circumstances here. God does intervene. Yes, He certainly does. And I believe with all of my heart that there's times that He intervenes that we don't know anything about. He moves in ways. There was the other day that Sister Diane was driving. I know that was probably the first mistake, letting her drive. And I thought, sure, and I'm just kidding. She's a good driver, very good driver. I just want those of you who's half asleep, just let you wake up. I just want you to know it was the hand of the mercy of God that we didn't get run over. And I really hated it because it's on my side, if you know what I mean. God does intervene. He does intervene in times that we don't have any clue whatsoever. Anyone asks, what are you going to say? Someone asked a preacher one time, what are you going to say when you stand before God and you see Him the first time? And he said, I'm not going to say anything because I'm going to be scared half out of my wits wondering what He's going to say to me first. What He's going to say to me. And I want to do everything I can in every possible way I can to hear Him say, well done. Hear Him say, well done. Church, it's reasoning that makes one right and wise. Excuse me. It's not reasoning that makes one right and wise, but moral reasoning that sets us apart as God's people when we realize that there is right and wrong. There is black and white. There is a God that controls the universe. And if there wasn't a God, an atheist was really true and really, really real, all these questions that we ask and that Habakkuk asked would be totally irrational and totally irrelevant. But I'm sure that all of us have tried to rationalize or figure out the craziness of our own lives and the evil of this world. How many's ever tried to figure out the craziness of your own life? The evil of this world that's all around us and question God, God, why don't You do something? Why does bad things happen to good people? said it rains on the just and upon the unjust. And the evil in this world has totally resented anything that God has put in place. And we ask ourselves, realizing and the reason the world needs to accept. See, all these shootings in the schools and all these shootings in the workplace, they're trying to rationalize it as a mental thing. Can I tell you, it's an evil thing. It is a heart condition, not a mind condition. Now, grant you, there may be circumstances, but I'm talking about, for the most part, we have eliminated God. There is no more sanctity of life. Sin and the moral failure in this world is because man has determined to go their own way and be their own God. But I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God will have the last word. And you will be redeemed. And all of this stuff, I'm coming to a conclusion. All I like is finishing, okay? Stay with me. All I like is finishing. And in this conclusion, every one of us has pondered all that. Maybe some of you is pondering right now in your mind all the things that you've went through, all the evil that you've seen, circumstances that's happened in your life right now. But I want you to know and want to help you understand, you got to make up your mind. This is not heaven. It ain't hell. But it ain't heaven. But we're headed to one place or the other. We've just got to pass through here, and because sin has taken its position and its place. God has already once destroyed the world with water and the sin. And now the Bible tells us that He has reserved it, the sin of this world and the lack of moral of this world, He has reserved it unto fire. And it will be destroyed, and God will have the last word. But I just want you to make up your mind that you're going to follow the morals of God's Word. You're going to follow the statutes of God's Word. God's Word. It doesn't matter what our government says. It doesn't matter what Congress says. It doesn't matter what the Senate says. It doesn't matter what our governor says. It matters what God says. And we have to live by His precepts. We have to live by His precepts. It is a sin. It is a heart condition. Therefore, we must have our heart condition right and our minds made up that we're going to live and serve God regardless of the circumstance around about us. Can we settle that? Somebody say amen. Can we settle that? We're going to live for God. Can we settle that we should live for God regardless of what happens around us? Huh? So Habakkuk comes to the conclusion in chapter 3, verses 16, he said, I heard and my heart pounded. I heard and my heart pounded. What did he hear? He was hearing the voice of God. Can I tell you that if you'll stop and listen, you'll hear the voice of God. We get so nervous, we get so upset, we get so paralyzed with all the things of our world. We need to stop and allow God to speak to our hearts. He said, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. He said, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation that invaded us. Can I tell you, you can expand that and broaden that. The day of calamity, I've got to wait. I've got to be patient. But the devil that has afflicted your body, the enemy that's come to destroy your mind, the enemy that's come to bring all kinds of evil and hell in our lives and in our world's lives, the day of calamity is coming to him. His days are numbered. They are short and they are few. And the righteous must stand up and say, I believe God and I trust in Him. He
said, I waited patiently for the day of calamity to come and the nation that invaded us. And listen in verse 17, the thought and the center part of my message. Habakkuk said, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no grapes on the vine, and though the olive crops they fail, and the fields produce no food, and there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall. He said, but yet I'm going to rejoice. Yet I'm going to believe God. No matter what the circumstances of my life, I will joyfully give God praise, for He is my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you right now, if I don't charge your crank, you need to get a new crank. He was going through the same stuff you go through. Elijah went through the same stuff that you go through. Moses couldn't barely get his act together, and he still had to have his brother-in-law to help him. That not do nothing for you? I'm telling you, if that didn't bring a tear to your eye, you need to pluck a nose hair. I mean, to get some kind of emotion going. I just want you to know today, we live in a terrible world. But we've got a Redeemer. We've got a God that's sitting on the throne. And He does intervene in man's lives. If we will allow Him to, and we will allow Him to come into our lives. But the problem on the outside is they have justified evil. They have justified sin. And there is no justice in our world today. And I'm telling you, it's devouring them. And it will consume them. But those that are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ said, it doesn't matter to me if a fig tree does not bud. It doesn't matter to me if there's no sheep or cattle in the stall. It doesn't matter to me if there's no fruit on the vine. I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord my God. Oh, church, I don't know quite how you're sitting there right now, but I just want you to know it does not matter what you're going through. There's a payday coming. If you have to crawl all the way in through heaven's gates, it's going to be worth it all, because there's going to be no more pain, no more sickness, no more heartache, and no more worry, and no more war. Chris, come to the piano, please. I could tell you right now that I'm not through, because I ain't. I just want to give you a little bit more. Just wanted you, Him to come, so it'll make you feel a little bit better. He said in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Okay? And I will joyful in God my Savior. I will be joyful. It is a decision that we make. Listen, verse 19, He said, it is the sovereign Lord is my strength. You got to get this. You got to get this. It is the sovereign Lord that is my strength. It didn't matter if Habakkuk was in the middle of the war itself. It didn't matter what he was fighting, what he was going through. It didn't matter how sick he was. He said, my sovereign Lord is my strength. And He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to go on into the heights. How many of you ever been in Colorado or in other states that have those antelope and deer and mountain goats and rams, and they walk around on the edge of those cliffs? That's you. Not that I'm calling you a goat or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God gives you the strength, and He gives you the ability. And all the dangers that's all around about you, and all the things that you're going through, and all the things that you're facing, He gives you the ability to have the footing like a deer. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. Habakkuk was in such a dilemma himself, but yet he realized, Brother Aaron, no matter what happens, God's still God. And I choose. Look at your neighbor and say, I choose. I choose to serve God no matter what my circumstances is. If my husband don't want to love God, I'm still going to love him. If my wife don't want to love God, I'm still going to love him. If my kids don't want to love God, I'm still going to love God. And I'm going to trust him.
I'm going to trust Him. Everybody stand. Habakkuk wasn't the only one. I just love the way Habakkuk put it. Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. Jesus said something that was very, very hard to those around about Him, being the Son of God. A whole bunch of them in John chapter 6, the latter part of that chapter, a lot of them left Him and said, I can't, this is too strong, too much. And He looked at His disciples, the 12, and He said, are you all going to go away too? Are you all going to leave me too? They had made up their mind. They looked at Him and said, where would we go? There ain't no other place to go. There ain't no other place to go. You are the only answer, God. And I can trust in You. In the hardest aspects of your life, when you feel like you're about to fall, remember God gives you the strength and He gives you the footing like a deer. And you will stand. And you will make it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. God is our sovereign God. And He protects and He guides. And you can believe it with all of your heart that He will never send you or He will never make you go through, for He will not go with you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for this people. Lord, You see and know that we are flesh, that we're human, and there's times in our lives that life itself overwhelms us. But I pray, God, right now, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost will come and give us strength and give us the steadfastness and the security of our footing, Lord, that regardless of what's going on, we can reach the heights. We can reach the mountaintop. Lord, I love You and I appreciate You in Jesus' name. I wonder right now if you're here, and I know there is. You'd slip out of your seat, come and stand in front of this altar, say, I need some strength. That's what God's people's for. I need some strength. How many, you'd slip out of your seat, I don't care, it don't matter what some might think or how many times you've been to this altar. This is the day for your breakthrough. This is the day for God to touch you. You ain't ever heard it like this before. God's speaking to you right now.
And the peace of earth will grow.
Hallelujah. This is not about me and you. It's about You and God. I'm tired of being scared to death. I'm tired of having so much anxiety. I can't sleep at night. I can't work during the day. It's just overwhelming. Rest of you, would you come and join around about them? As you begin to pray for them and seek God for them. Though the journey be long and rough and hot, there is a Savior with His hand outstretched. He'll never take you to a place He will not go with you. Lord, we can look to You, God. We can look to You, Heavenly Father.
Look full in His wonderful face. When the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
Hallelujah.
In the light.
Hallelujah.
Of His glory.
Hallelujah. You're welcome to come. Find a place to talk to Jesus.
Turn Your eyes on Jesus. Look full. We'll grow strangely dim.